fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
It is Friday, the 17th day of March, with our second hour. The prepper tip of the day is to pray for guidance, pray for wisdom, pray for health and safety, pray for our republic. We have open lines here at Republic Broadcasting. The call number is 512-248-8252. Tomorrow morning, I'll be traveling to beautiful Lebanon, Missouri, to meet with Sam Andrews and all the instructors at Freedom Center USA. We'll be working on the schedule, the training schedule, the class schedule for this calendar year. I'm looking forward to that, meeting the new instructors, getting reacquainted with the older instructors. And it's going to be a great time to meet these men, get together with them, get to know them. And we have this is going to be a breakthrough year for us. I have high level of confidence that the lawsuit will be settled in our favor. At that time, we can work on paying off the legal bills. And if you'll move in your heart to make a donation to the Legal Defense Fund, there's a panel at my website at thelibertyman.com for you to make a contribution to the Legal Defense Fund. Our listeners at Republic Broadcasting have been vital in keeping the funding going. Competent legal defense is very expensive, very expensive. But we're close to concluding this matter. The evidence is extremely favorable to our side. The plaintiffs have sworn lies under oath. How about that? The evidence is on our side. The testimony is on our side, and we're going to prevail. I've learned a lot at Freedom Center. I've taken a precision rifle class, and I learned I could do things I did not know were even possible for myself or anybody else as far as that goes. The level of precision that the proper equipment and the proper training can deliver, it is truly amazing. I've been a range officer for some of these classes, and I've watched these men and women go through their paces as they improve their skills with rifles and pistols. And under the pressure, of that kind of training, and there's enough pressure to make it more authentic, make it more realistic, and yeah, so it'll be a great day tomorrow. I have to keep coming back to the fact, and it is a fact, that the worst crime in recorded human history is taking place right now. Changes in our society are going to change our society for several generations. It will. The millennials are taking the biggest hit in terms of people dying and becoming disabled. That's our future right there. I'm not sure yet what's happening to the children, those under age of 18. I know it's not good. I'm not sure. I simply don't know the details of how bad it is. But the millennial generation is losing the equivalent of all the men and women who died in Vietnam over more than 10 years, one every year, over 50,000. That's a heavy hit. It's a real heavy hit. We got a caller here. It looks like Oscar in Florida. Good morning, Oscar.
Good morning, Mr. Moore. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Go ahead. You're on here.
I'm a relatively new listener to the whole station here. I'd always heard of Republic Broadcasting, but didn't start listening until a few months ago. But I really enjoy your show. I'm usually at work at this time, so I can't get to call in. But what's funny is my good friend of mine, his dad's a Vietnam vet, and I just couldn't help. You guys sound like the same person, man. He talks, his mannerisms are exactly like you, for whatever reason. But he got drafted, I think, in 67 and 68. So he was in the Tet Offensive, and he's got some pretty wild stories about all that,
I bet.
Man.
I bet. Yep.
My question was about your energy cleaner. My friend has a Beamer device that I've used, and I'm just wondering how it compares to a Beamer.
I've never heard of the Beamer, so I have no ability to make a comparison.
Okay, because it's supposed to get kind of the same thing. It's something you put under the mattress, and it's. I didn't get much results out of it myself, but at the time I wasn't really. You know, I'm 43, so I didn't really have any chronic conditions, and I still really don't, but...
Right.
Okay. That's all I was wondering, if you could just, if you knew anything about that, but I love the show, man.
Okay, Oscar, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Call number is 512-248-8252. Yeah, the Tet Offensive, I became aware of the Tet Offensive months before it took place. This might be a good time. I don't do this very frequently, but the Tet Offensive was going on right now in 1968, the 17th day of March. It went on for months. My first semester of college when I was 18 years old was 19, excuse me, was a disaster. I knew that because of my being 1A status, that when I lost my when I left college, that I would be drafted relatively quickly. That was just the nature of the time. And I wanted to have some control over my destiny. So rather than be drafted for 2 years and have no control over my destiny, I decided to enlist for 3 years and have some control over my destiny. My father very thoughtfully picked up a book listing all the jobs the Army offered at the time, which was extremely helpful. And so I was looking over these jobs, I'm a very mature 19-year-old, and I decided that, given my age and my IQ, that I would like to become an intelligence analyst. So I took the Armed Forces test, and I tested in the top 3% of all people who took it, which meant I could have my choice of any job that a guy with no experience my age could take. And I easily qualified for military intelligence school. So I went ahead and enlisted, basic training at Fort Leonard Wood. military intelligence school at Fort Halliburton, Baltimore, Maryland, and got my orders to go to Vietnam. I got off the plane the first week of September 1967. I was just less than a month past my 20th birthday, only out of high school about 15 months, or coming from a little country high school in Missouri. I was quite naive in the ways of the world, to say the least. But within a few days of arriving in Vietnam, the first week of September 1967, I was told by the men I worked with in military intelligence that there was going to be a major enemy offensive during the Chinese New Year celebration called Tet, T-E-T. So all that fall, I was doing my work as an intelligence analyst. I began my workday Monday through Friday attending the classified briefing at the 4th Corps compound in the city where I was stationed in the Mekong Delta. And then I picked up documents from the CIA, from military intelligence, from National Security Agency, from RAND Corporation, and I studied those documents. My outfit also, we interviewed Viet Cong, who had defected in a program. I was in psychological warfare, psychological operations. And typically these young Viet Cong, they were teenage boys, 15, 16, 17 years old. They were telling us about the major offensive that they were being trained for and that they would be participating in during the Chinese New Year celebration of Tet. Along the way, I was telling my buddies that I worked with that were not, there was only four of us in the intelligence section of my battalion. So I was telling all the guys I worked with, hey guys, there's going to be this really big deal coming the end of January. So when you get that disgusting fruitcake from your parents for Christmas, don't throw it away. Hold on to it. Stock up on food. Stock up on ammunition. Get ready, because it's coming. Get extra magazines for your rifles. A few guys paid heed and did what I suggested. Most did not. That's where I came face-to-face as a young adult with the phenomenon of denial. Denial is not a river in Egypt. Denial is the human response of people not doing the right thing when they're given the facts of the situation. So I've been aware of that all my life. So the Chinese New Year celebration in Southeast Asia is a combination of Christmas, the 4th of July, and New Year's, all combined together. The first day of the Tet New Year celebration, people were happy. They were visiting each other's homes, exchanging gifts, having dinner at each other's homes, shooting off fireworks. And I went to bed that night thinking, oh, maybe it'll be okay. Maybe. I probably went to bed about 10 o'clock or so. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I was woke up by what I thought was more fireworks. It turned out to be incoming rockets, incoming mortars. That was the beginning of the Tet Offensive. Well, I got my combat gear on, got on station. I didn't go to bed. I didn't get any sleep for the next 3 days. I assure you that 3 days with no sleep will make your brain do very strange things. No doubt whatsoever. The third day, the night of the third day, I finally got some sleep. Not in my bed. I was already in a different building. We consolidated our forces to have better protection. And I found a nice pile of clean cardboard to lay down on, one of the best night's sleeps I ever had. I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know, that at first 3 days, it was hard to say who was going to win, quite frankly. It really was. The morning of the first day, Viet Cong commandos got inside the American Embassy compound in Saigon, about 90 miles away from me. So we had a radio going, and I could hear the radio traffic of the reporting. And I was thinking to myself, I was laying on my belly, and these rockets and mortars are hitting around me. I'm thinking to myself, the American Embassy compound in Saigon is the most secure part of the U.S. military in the entire country. If we can't even protect that, what chance do I have with my buddies here behind these sandbags in the Mekong Delta? That was my thought at the time. There was I think it was CBS, General Westmoreland, years later, in the 1980s, I think in the early 1980s, filed a lawsuit against one of the networks, I believe it was CBS, because of the way they reported on the Tet Offensive. And what it brought to light was something that I was already aware of, but the rest of the world became aware of, the disparity between the CIA's information and Army intelligence information. I had access to both. I knew what the CIA was reporting because I got the reports every day. I went to their headquarters in Canto, where I was stationed, and picked up classified documents. Got to know the lady pretty well, where I picked up the documents. Headquarters very cleverly disguised as a university extension. Their jeeps were all painted blue and had these athletic young men wearing casual clothes with a shirt hanging out to cover up their weapons, coming and going all the time. I don't believe they fooled anybody, but that's what was their cover. Why an American university would have an extension in a war zone was kind of beyond me. But regardless, Westmoreland's intelligence people were reporting to Westmoreland that there was not going to be a major offensive, that the enemy could no longer mount a major defensive on the battlefield. And in fact, General Westmoreland gave his famous light at the end of the tunnel speech before a joint session of Congress just a month before, December 1967. That's a pretty rare thing, in case you don't know, for a U.S. active duty military general to give a speech before a joint session of Congress. It's a pretty rare thing. But that's what he said. That's what he told the American people and the world. As a consequence, the U.S. Army did not prepare for the Tet Offensive. My outfit, now keep in mind all the generals were World War II veterans. I believe every one of them was a World War II veteran. Most of the field grade officers were either World War II or Korean veterans or both. The company grade officers were the younger guys who were not necessarily a veteran of the previous wars. Not necessarily, but some probably were. So as a consequence, my outfit, 10th Psychological Operations Battalion in the Mekong Delta, did not get extra ammunition. We did not get extra food. In fact, we barely had enough ammunition for each man to have one or two 20-round magazines for their M14 rifles. That's how bad it was. The first day, we had enough sea rations to feed each man one meal if they split one meal between them. That's all the food we had. Now, different people have different definitions for what it means to be hungry. My personal definition is the following. I'm hungry, and there's angry armed men who want to kill me between where I am and where food is. That's John Moore's definition of hungry, because I've been there. Obviously got past it. We ran armed convoys through the city to get to where the food was. I felt like the American soldiers going into Paris in 1945. It was wonderful. We have a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back. That audio clip was Mel Gibson playing the role of Colonel Hal Turner, Colonel Hal Moore, in the film, the motion picture, We Were Soldiers. And just like the men in that movie, I had my bayonet ready. I was not going to surrender. It was not going to happen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want the exact same equipment the Department of Defense used to protect buildings, generators, vehicles, you can get those pieces of equipment at thelibertyman.com with a very nice $50 discount for your vehicle, your generator, your spouse's vehicle, the vehicle that youngster off to college at thelibertyman.com. The fall of 1967, I wanted ammunition. So one of the duties I had, about twice a month, I would fly combat air missions as part of my duties to play our loudspeaker tapes, propaganda tapes, and drop propaganda leaflets over the enemy concentrations. And we did that from Bentiu U.S. Air Force Base Bentui, about a 10 or 12 mile drive from the city. So typically we'd drive out there in the morning, fly our missions, and then return home before dark back to our base. Well, one of those days, it was too late. Those roads were relatively safe. We drove as fast as we could in daylight hours, but no Americans or even the Vietnamese soldiers, our allies, drove those roads at night. It was just too dangerous. So we were stuck until overnight. We knew that. The Air Force had good chow, so we had a good meal. And during the meal, there was a broadcast over the loudspeaker system that they were anticipating an enemy attack that night. So I talked to myself and two other guys were out there at this location for my outfit, GIs, soldiers. And I talked to them. I said, guys, are we going to spend the night in a bunker with these Air Force weenies, or are we going to do something about it and maybe get some ammunition out of the deal? So we agreed on a plan. I would be the spokesman. I went and found the Air Force officer in charge of security for the airbase. And I made him the offer. I said, he was a young major. I said, sir, in exchange for all the ammunition we can carry home with us when we leave in the morning, we will take over a bunker on your perimeter where you think you're most likely to be attacked from. He got the biggest smile on his face, and he loaded us down with ammunition, hand grenades, smoke grenades, and gave us this little bunker. It was actually three aluminum cases full of sand, bomb cases, 500-pound bomb cases, one facing the enemy and two on either side of us in kind of a triangle shape. And that was our place to protect that night. So we had our rifles, we had our ammunition, hand grenades, smoke grenades, and so forth, pop flares. We didn't have a radio, by the way. And we went out there to spend the night, and we're talking about life, talking about wives and girlfriends, and what we want to do when we leave the Army, and taking turns, getting a little sleep in there, two guys awake, one taking a nap. About 2 a.m., the rockets came in right over our heads, and mortars and rockets. Actually, it was all mortars. There was no rockets at night. And they're hitting, we're almost a mile from the inside of the airbase. And the mortars are hitting inside there. That was our signal to prepare for a ground attack. And we were ready. We had our ammunition loaded up, hand grenades ready to go, and so forth. But luckily, there was no ground attack that night. As daylight was breaking, we were pretty sure there was not going to be a ground attack. Once it was full daylight, the sun was above the horizon. We walked back to the security office, and I should have, in hindsight, did a harder bargain and asked for the hand grenades and smoke grenades and pop flares. It didn't occur to me to do that. I just wanted the ammunition. So we turned back the hand grenades and smoke grenades and the pop flares, kept the ammunition. We was on machine gun belts. We had, each of us had these machine gun belts draped across us like Pancho Villa. And we went to have breakfast in the Army, the Air Force chow hall. We hadn't shaved for 24 hours. We were been sweating out in the Mekong heat all night long. And I was never so proud to be a soldier as I was that morning, walking to that Air Force chow hall with all those Air Force weenies looking at us like we're meant for Mars. It's great. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM. That's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question. The only question that matters. Are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That's Mark Wahlberg, who played the role of Carroll Shelby in the film Ford versus Ferrari, one of my favorite films. And that's near and dear to my heart for a number of reasons, which I won't go into right now, but which I have in the past. My website is thelibertyman.com. My new webmaster is doing a stellar job of keeping updates squared away, posting new things as necessary, and going back to the worst crime recorded in human history, our COVID section gets updates several times a week. Most recently, the 20-something minute video presentation by Dr. Lynn Horowitz is the first thing you see at the COVID panel. it's a, I know we have limited time. I appreciate that. And it's a lot of information, a lot of evidence packed in a very short video presentation, less than 30 minutes. Of course, products that will help you at my website. The Liberated Rocket Heaters, we'll be talking about that the third hour. And, of course, the Energy Cleaner, my home business. When you place your order, I personally pack it up along with the mattress pad. If you order one, I take it to the Little Country Post Office tonight, which is also a country store and country restaurant, where tonight there's an all-you-can-eat catfish buffet for $13. I ship them out priority mail wherever you might be. Alaska, Florida, New York, Texas, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, England. I ship these all over the planet. Keep in mind, I offer from me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. You don't want to give your credit card out on the internet? I appreciate that. I have a toll-free airline, so you don't need to do that. That's 800-592-9543. One of the things I learned during the Tet Offensive is you can't tell who is and who is not a coward before the shooting starts. During a Tet Offensive, my first sergeant said, "More, cover me. I want to go on this roof across the street and check out for a Viet Cong sniper." So I'm on my roof of my building, covering my first sergeant. When a shooting started, the guy on my right held his position, covering the first sergeant. The guy on my left collapsed to the floor into the fetal position, dropping his weapon. I had no idea he was a coward until that moment. No idea at all that he was a coward until that moment. But I found out, I knew then that I couldn't trust him, that I couldn't rely on him. But at the same time, as during the first couple of days of the Tet Offensive, the first sergeant, he says, "Moore, would you tour the city and report back to us?" Like, we didn't have radios. We weren't authorized to have radios. Report back to us what's going on out there. I said, "Yes, First Sergeant, I'll volunteer." So I asked one of my buddies, he became a chef, I think he's probably retired now, and he had his M3 submachine gun, I had a Thompson submachine gun, and we took a quick tour through the city back to going past 4th Corps headquarters, where the TOC was, the Tactical Operations Center. It was quite a sight. And drove to what was called Eakin Compound. Now, both these facilities were built by the French Foreign Legion, by the way. In fact, we had a former member of the French Foreign Legion was a member of my outfit in the Army, in the 10th Psychological Operations Battalion. And it was an education talking to a veteran of the French involvement, and he knew everybody in that town. It was ironic. He was stationed at the same city with the U.S. Army as he was with the French Foreign Legion. He spoke great. I'm not sure what his ethnic background was, and I'm not sure we ever talked about it. They use Frenchmen for the officers and men from other countries to be in the French Foreign Legion. But I learned a lot from him, and he introduced me to the best restaurants and so forth around town. He knew everybody. So when I went past the, we stopped and looked around a little bit at the TOC, the Tactical Operations Center. That was the main target of the Viet Cong. They attacked from the east. They attacked from the west. Across the street was the campus of the Kanto University, the largest university in the Mekong Delta. And they got up in there that night. The Tet Offensive was, since it was a holiday, there was nobody on the campus. It was a 3 or 4 story steel reinforced concrete structure directly across the street from the TOC, Tactical Operations Center. They got up there with heavy machine guns and rocket propelled grenades and their AKs and the rest of it. The Air Force basically, the U.S. Air Force and the Vietnamese Air Force basically destroyed the entire university complex. It was just a rubbish when our guys were done bombing the hell out of that building and killing all the guys that were in there, all the Viet Cong that were in there, but they saved the talk. Looks like we've got a caller on hold here. We've got Dave in Texas. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, John. I know most of your disparagement of Air Force weenies is all in good nature. I was not long ago reading an article about how the Air Force F-100s, I think it was at Bin Ho, took off
Benoit.
Yeah, these guys, right. they took off. Yeah, correct. Is that where you were at the time?
No, I was 90 miles south there in Delta. Benoit was near Saigon in 3 Corps. I was in 4th Corps, yeah. About 90 miles south of there. But I got to see those guys work out. It was very gratifying to see these F-100s and F-104s work out. It was an amazing and frightening sight.
Yeah, they took off in the middle of the attack under fire and came back around and provided close air support. And they actually stopped the attack on the base. There was army folks on the base too, helping obviously quite a bit. The grunts, we call them. Grunts, which right. is all in good nature. Not we don't disparage them. I've never heard an Air Force guy disparage Army guys. At the worst, we call them grunts. But that's all
we call each other grunts too. But go ahead.
Yeah. So you know these Air Force guys, they did a lot of good work in bombing the hell out of those guys when they were attacking the Tet Offensive. They were
Roger that.
They were also
Absolutely.
Instrumental.
Roger that. Were you there yourself?
No, I was after the Vietnam War. But I know a lot of the guys from the VFW that I would never call them weenies. That's for sure. They were pretty hardcore dudes. Did a rough job, and got back. The ones that got back, that is. A few of my friends were POWs. I flew with some former POWs in the F4 community,
right,
and those guys
right.
had some very interesting stories to tell too. Stuff they went through.
Including the only POW who gained weight as a POW, and who was that?
Yeah, you know McCain.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was Navy, come on.
Roger that, he was Navy, right.
we do disparage them a little bit. We call them squids, but it all in good nature. Well, thanks
Roger.
A lot. Very interesting.
Thanks for the call.
Trip down memory lane. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We appreciate it. Call number is 512-248-8252. So the attack from the east was centered at Yekantil University. From the west was a civilian residential area. They came up out of the canals, and they were burning and destroying the residential area en route to the 4th Corps TOC, Tactical Operations Center. So it was a two-pronged attack. I recall, I think it was the second or third day, being on the roof of one of our buildings, and the Cobra attack helicopters were strafing the Viet Cong with machine guns and fire, and the expended shell casings were flying down on top of me, on top of my buddies, and we learned real quick to keep your shirt buttoned up tight so those hot shell casings wouldn't go down the back of your neck. That kind of burned, and I'm speaking from personal experience. So that's how close the combat was to where I was the shell casings were going down the back of my shirt. It was touch and go those first 3 days. By the start of the fourth day, the overwhelming American firepower devastated the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese. Absolutely wiped them out. The Viet Cong were never again an effective fighting force at the end of the Tet Offensive. They were just devastated. At that point, it became the remnants of the Viet Cong. And, of course, the North Vietnamese Army, which had always had fresh supply of men coming in, that they were drafting and training and equipping. The American High Command knew how to end the war relatively quickly. They didn't. They were ordered not to. The Port of Haiphong in North Vietnam. Port of Haiphong is where everything North Vietnam needed to fight the war was brought in ships from China, from Russia, from various comblock countries. Ammunition, weapons, food, uniforms, medical supplies, radios, trucks, fuel, everything. The river that came out at the port was so full of silt that they had a German dredge to dredge it out because the silt was so heavy. Now, within 3 to 6 months, the port would no longer be usable. Well, no. It was also well known that if that German dredge was sunk, the war would be over in less than a year. That was well known. No secret. The American pilots, those F-100, F-104 pilots, Air Force and Navy pilots, were prohibited from sinking that one ship, which may or may not have one or two men on it. At night it might have been unoccupied, wouldn't matter. They were prohibited from sinking that dredge. The powers that be wanted that war to go on for years into the future. They weren't about to stop it. And that would have stopped it in less than a year. Once the port could no longer offload the weapons of war, everything they needed to wage war would have been brought to a screeching halt. That's my reality. Of course, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't have access to that classified information. That was kept from me as well. So that war at the time was our longest war. We've now doubled that time. We now have had two wars that ran about 20 or so years in Iraq and Afghanistan. So let's see. Why did we invade Iraq? What was the reason? At the time, oh yes, that's right. I used to have the joint resolution. I used to keep copies handy to hand out to people. I don't do that anymore. There's about 18 or 20 whereases, whereas this, whereas that. Clearly, to anybody who reads all those whereases, giving President Bush authority to wage war, it's very clear that the main one was the make-believe, non-existent Saddam Hussein nuclear weapons program. No, he did attempt it one time, but that was discontinued. General Powell humiliated himself in front of the entire planet, presenting the make-believe evidence of the yellow cake radioactive material that he did for the United Nations. There was no yellow cake radioactive material. It was all a fantasy. So we waged war in that country for 2 decades. Because of a fantasy. Well, the real reason was Saddam Hussein was going to sell Iraqi oil and things other than American dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have time for a call or two at 512-248-8252. In Afghanistan. We went to war there because how tall was this Saudi terrorist, 6'6", Osama bin Laden, was hiding out in a concrete bunker that we built when we were helping the Mujahideen fight the Russians somewhere in the mountains with maybe 100 other Saudis. So we went to war with an entire country because 100 guys were connected to 9/11/01. That's what we're supposed to believe. We couldn't send in the necessary commandos, Navy SEALs, to find 100 men and wipe them out. We didn't have that capability. We had to go to war with an entire country for 20 years to find and kill a man who wasn't even in Afghanistan. He was in Pakistan in a very nice villa about 2 football fields away from the main gate of what was the Pakistani equivalent of West Point. That's my reality. finally we conclude that war, not in a very good way. We have a call here. We got Ben in St. Louis. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning, John. It's great to hear you reminisce about your time in Vietnam, that offensive and such. I might have heard that story a couple of times. But I wanted to call and ask you this morning, based on what we're seeing going on, how soon do you think this proxy war is going to turn into a we have boots on the ground, as they say, war over there?
Well, the proxy war, it depends on how you define a proxy war. We already have Americans in Ukraine as technicians. And we'll continue this discussion after the break. We'll be right back.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Ben, you and I are friends, obviously, to the people listening. And I'll give you, you're asking for my prognostication on if and when this proxy war becomes a war, open warfare between the United States and Russia. I'm not sure anybody knows. If the German, excuse me, the Russian high command may have a date in mind, they may not. There are certain things that they can and can't do depending on weather and field to ground conditions because of Ukraine is unique. It has some of the, on one hand, some of the richest topsoil to grow crops on the planet. On the other, it's also the best mud on the planet when it gets wet. So what can or cannot happen is somewhat dependent on weather and ground conditions, on one hand. On the other, the first time since World War II, the entire 101st Airborne is in Europe. They're in Poland right now. They've come and gone in smaller groups since World War II, but never the entire division. That's major, to say the least. That is really major. So I would just speculate, Ben, that it could happen, that people need to make whatever preparations they need to for their families in case World War III does really become a hot war between the major powers. Once it starts, there's no telling what direction it's going to go, Ben. And the combined forces of Russia and China, I believe, are more than the U.S. can handle unless it goes nuclear and we go nuclear first. That's my opinion. Anything else, Ben?
No, John, always enjoy listening to you, whether you're talking about what you did in the past and what we got going on today. But I know that when things got started in Vietnam, although as a kid, the history tells us, you know, we were in there, special forces were in there, about like we are right now, training guys. So that's how we got started, training guys to use the equipment we were sending. And then it just turned into the quagmire that it became. And things move a lot faster and it seemed to be resolved a lot quicker nowadays. But I'd expect that, you know, if they play their cards right, they could milk this war for 5 or 10 years.
Possibly. There's a lot of money to be made. War is the most profitable venture that human beings can engage in.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. When there's money to be made, right, like to be made on this deal, I think that these money grubbing globalists, they can't help themselves, John.
Nope, they can't. Ben, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Okay. Let's see. Our next call, we got a break coming up. Looks like Pat in Fort Worth, Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, John. I asked Jeff Nyquist what he thought about the uprising where the communists infiltrated in Washington, D.C., and they were burning things. He said that it was communist instigated and the whole thing, you know. So, but I'm talking about the bonus march in Washington. I'm sorry. I'm still on, I don't daylight wasted time. All right. The bonus march in Washington, you know. And I think Jeff Nyquist is the one who's right about the what the communists are doing. Could you hold on? I hear the music.
He is right, man. I obviously agree with you, Pat. Anything else?
Well, my brother was on one of those Cobra helicopters as a medic, and he said,
"No, Cobras didn't have medics." Cobras had a pilot and co-pilot. There's no medics on Cobras, but go ahead.
My father worked for Bell Helicopter. My stepfather worked for Bell Helicopter. Okay,
right.
Here in Fort Worth. Yeah, and he sent a letter back to him to keep those babies coming. And they published it in their company newsletter, you know, to inspire people for what they're working for, you know. And anyway, he's on the wall, of course. I mean, I guess you do that. As much as I've called, you should know that. It's not
who's,
good.
Who's on the wall? Which your relatives
my
is on
brother,
the wall in Washington?
My baby brother.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Okay. And so I'm a victim in a way. My mother never was, no, gave, not got any honor for all that.